cartoon of Jesus Christ on it. And it said, Jesus is coming, look busy. And I just thought, I need that t-shirt. But he was gone. Now, like many of you, I hate getting caught out. Getting caught out can lead to shame or embarrassment. It doesn't make us feel great. And I've never met a single person who likes it. So the idea of Jesus suddenly arriving at the door is quite a jarring one for me that I find slightly uncomfortable. Perhaps some of you feel the same. It even can sound a little frightening, especially in the middle of the night. Especially when paired with the Psalms that we had today. O God, our God, will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm. Now, it doesn't sound too great to me. In fact, it kind of sounds like an apocalyptic summer blockbuster that I really don't want to go see. And it also doesn't sound like the God that I've experienced during my life. I don't know about you, but in the moments where I've really felt God's presence, those moments have tangibly been incredible, like being held by the very air around me, and they did not come accompanied with fear or a raging storm. They came with feelings of certainty and peace and assurance. So I find the readings today a little sort of incongruous or confusing. Now, these moments of feeling God's presence are usually quite fleeting and far between. I think I've been fortunate enough to have maybe three in my 40 years on earth. But there are the hindsight moments, aren't there, where we look back and are able to notice where God was at work in our lives and then give thanks in response to those things. Now, sometimes when I go home to visit family in the UK, something kicks off, opinions clash, as they are prone to do in a family full of extroverts. My brother and I take the banter a little too far at the dinner table, and all of a sudden, it's not funny that Liverpool were about to win the European Championship when COVID cancelled all organized sports and men up and down the country suddenly started taking COVID-19 seriously because football had been cancelled. Someone ultimately has a sense of humor failure. Spouses look awkwardly across the table at each other, and my mother leans back in her chair and says, ah, the rich tapestry of family life. And this usually seems to break the tension, and we go back to normal, choosing a very different and less taboo topic than football, like politics or religion. But when she says it, I often sort of picture this tapestry. I've imagined myself standing in front of it and looking at the intricacies and the details that I missed in the moments. Holding this fabric, weighty as it is, up to the light, I sometimes find that a sparkle of gold thread can be found. And I move it in my imagination and look closer, and the thread is gone. But there is a gold thread that weaves itself through this tapestry of family life or of just each of our lives. And I believe that little gold thread is God at work. Sometimes it's so visible and near to us that we notice it and it can be seen. And sometimes when we really take the time to look back, we notice that thin thread and then it just sort of vanishes and disappears back again and it's gone. But I don't want to just see it in glimpses past. I want to see it in the moment. I want to be present to God. And it's not easy, is it? Now, over time, the gospel text that we heard this morning has been used to teach people that their value in God's eyes is only in the works that they do and what they can offer God. Or it's been used in kind of like the sense of the rapture, you know, like some of those other texts where one gets taken and one gets left behind and there's lots of fire. But I just want to remind you that this text is actually coming right after the text that we had last week. So we've got a bit of a follow-on happening. And you remember I said that what we heard was sandwiched in between these beautiful sections where Jesus is teaching his disciples and those listening that they are so worthy, they are so beloved in God's eyes that, you know, he points them to sparrows and flowers and says, look how well cared for these things are. Look how well dressed the lilies of the field are. Are you not more important to God than this sparrow or this flower? So then we come to this text, and I wonder, where is the good news here? And also, if we're already so worthy, why do we need to follow Jesus at all, right? Now, Jesus is actually not speaking to his disciples about the rapture or the end times in this passage, but about the clash of good and evil that they are about to experience and witness that's about to take place in Israel and specifically in Jerusalem, and that Jesus is going to take the lead on by going to the cross. So he's speaking to them about something that's very real in their lives, like personally. And he wants to hammer home to them and to us that this is a battle that is constant in the hearts and minds of humans, and that just being a follower of Christ doesn't make us immune to those things. And that's why we follow Jesus, because there are other things, other worldly things that are competing for our attention and for our allegiance, and they are not things that give life to us. Good news. We are told, little flock, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You can rely on God. God has always got your back. Have faith and you will see God in every moment. And Jesus speaks about storing up for yourselves, not treasures in heaven. And again, here we hear that finger-wagging medieval pulpit high above preacher saying, oh, you're going to be measured by your good works. But, you know, focus on the heavenly things. Get rid of all your stuff. What you can offer God. And we better not get caught out by the thief in the night because, oh my gosh. But that rhetoric makes no sense because Jesus literally just said, don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid. So, you know, what are we got to be scared of here? Now, he says, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. Heaven, the kingdom of heaven. These are God's created realities. First line of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth, this is God's created reality, the sphere in which God dwells. And one day when God's will is done on earth, as it is in heaven, as we say in our Lord's Prayer daily for most of us, and today certainly, that is the way of life that gives life and allows us to become fully human. And that peace where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, when that permeates the earth and is brought fully to bear on creation and the priorities and values of God are sort of pressed against the anxieties and evils of the world on earth, that is when we will see the fullness of God on earth. And that is our role as followers of Christ. Now, in the meantime, until that day comes, we are to be like the servants waiting for that and getting ready for that and being awake and looking for God in every moment by being present and striving to live more like Jesus. So in some ways, while we need not fear the coming of Jesus in our lives, we accept that following Christ, especially in our time, is actually very disruptive because it's not the common way of the world. So it would feel like someone arriving in the middle of the night and banging on the door. Or it might feel the kind of level of disruption of someone breaking into your house because Jesus breaks into your life. And when you're striving to follow his teachings, it kind of makes a mess of things because you have to make decisions based on the truth that you know. So being a Christian in this time and place is not meant to be an easy task. It will disrupt our lives in the same way that it did the first disciples. That's why the Passion Week is so disturbing to us, even 2,000 years on, because it's so disruptive. It challenges us to not just live as citizens of the earth, but to live as citizens of the heavens and the earth. Jesus is coming into our lives every moment. He's knocking on the door every moment, like now, and now, and now. So what do? Our only response to Jesus is to firstly just not be afraid. And the prophet Isaiah had some good words on this for us this morning. We need to cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, the orphan, and plead for the widow. And the more we strive to do what we know is right because Jesus taught us how to live right alongside God, the more glimmers of gold will appear in that tapestry. And it will become richer and more vibrant until eventually the city of gold that is spoken about by the prophet John in Revelation will appear before our very eyes, because that is what ushering in the kingdom of God looks like, right? So our task as the people of God here in Powell River is not to look back, but to remain present and to ask ourselves, where are the orphans and the widows and the oppressed? Where do we need to seek justice? Where do we need to be the rescuers that Christ would be if he were here today? Be present in the here and now to ask God to show us the way. And as we come into September, I'll be starting the interim training, and we'll be starting to have some discussions about what that's going to look like for us as a community. So as we walk towards that, let's be fearless, let's be faithful, and try and remain present to the will of God, that it may be done here on earth in Powell River as it is in heaven. Amen.